Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This podcast is made possible by our supporters over on Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get your own RSS feed with ad-free shows and extra episodes every month, then head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And we're back on this lovely Labor Day for another episode of the Nerd Cave Retro Show. My name is Jason Robbins.
And my name is Derek Diamond.
So how was your weekend?
Very busy. Had to work a wedding Saturday, which took the majority of the afternoon into the evening. Had a video shoot yesterday, but thankfully I got Labor Day off from work, so I've just been kind of hanging out at home. So
yeah,
pretty... Oh, go ahead.
No, it's good. I was going to say it's been a 4-day weekend, so it's been kind of nice.
If you can get the 4-day weekend, like that, that's like a delicacy
yeah.
that you don't get too often, so you got to enjoy it when you can.
Yeah, well, I get today off, but I have to make it up on Friday, so it doesn't. I get a shorter
well, that's
weekend.
It's a federal holiday.
Yeah, no, it's a shorter weekend this coming up, but 4 days off has been nice. And I slept like 13 hours last night, so I'm feeling all right.
Oh, good.
let's see what I've been. What have you been playing? You been playing anything? Have you had time to play anything this weekend?
Just what I'm going to be reviewing tonight. You know, I wanted to dedicate a good chunk of my time to that. So, been playing Jet Force Gemini for the most part, and haven't really dabbled into too much else. Though I have been. I watched some Tears of the Kingdom videos and I got a little tempted to jump back in, but I'm like, I can't right now. Maybe when I get back from Los Angeles, I will, but
yeah,
too much going on right now.
You know what I realized too, with the review you're doing tonight, this is the game I confuse always with Jet Set Radio, because when I was filling out
the titles are similar.
Yeah, because when I was filling out everything for the episode, I kept putting Jet Set Radio, and I was like, that's what I keep thinking this game is.
Though we should review Jet Set Radio at
some point.
Probably
should.
Yeah.
This weekend I played some G.I. Joe, Real American Hero. I streamed a little bit on Friday, and
I saw that.
Reviewing that next week's show. Let everybody know that Derek is going to be in Los Angeles watching his awesome movie at well, I keep wanting to call it Man's Chinese Theater, but what is it now? It's
the TCL Chinese Theater.
Yeah, the TCL Chinese Theater, which has been a dream of mine my entire life, and now I get to live vicariously through Derek as he does that. But Derek's going to be gone next week, and Mr. Joey Image is going to be taking his place, and we have a new segment tonight with Mr. Image coming up here in just a little bit.
So this will be the second greatest episode of Nerd Cave Retro. When he fills in for me next week, it'll be the first.
Yep. But we got a lot of news to get to. Should we jump into that? Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Some of tonight's stories were submitted to us by Mr. Tyler Watson, who's having a birthday today. So,
yeah, happy birthday.
I am the Rampage and Mr. Armez Jackson. And if you have a story you'd like us to cover, send them to nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. And I'm so excited about this one. But this is from Polygon.com. A 4K remaster of Star Wars Dark Forces is coming out later this year. The Night Dive Studios, the Portland-based game developer behind this year's System Shock remake and the recent remaster of Quake 2, announced on Wednesday that it's partnering with Lucasfilm Games to release a remastered version of Star Wars Dark Forces, the 1995 first-person shooter developed by LucasArts. It will use the studio's proprietary Kex engine, support up to 4K resolution at 120 frames per second, features modern gamepad support, remastered cutscenes, and adds trophies and achievements to the original game experience. So what do you think about this one?
So I watched the trailer before we started, and I'm excited for it. You know, this is a game I've talked about numerous times on the show that I never got to play. Mm-hmm. So I will be picking this up when it drops. You know, it looks about as good as I think a remastered game from a game of this era could mm-hmm. be. So, and it's Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know, so obviously I'm going to love it.
I mean, and I played this originally on PC back in the 90s, and I loved this game so much back then. I played it because I had it for my first real computer that I had. Soon as this game came out, I was like, I got this. And I got Rebel Assault and what else did I? TIE Fighter. I had these three games. Played them until my fingers bled. And I cannot wait for the remaster of this to come out.
I think this remaster is overdue, but we're getting it. So mm-hmm. I can't really complain about that. But it's going to be available for the Switch, PS4, PS5, PC, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. It doesn't have a release date yet, just some point later this year. My guess is probably November.
I would think
so. To kind of get those holiday sales.
Yeah, and it doesn't have a price either, but I'm thinking this is probably going to be maybe a $30 release. I hope it's not any more than that.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we'll keep everyone updated because, you know, this will be a big story.
Yeah, this might be a Christmas review too.
Yeah, could be. Next up from IGN.com, Sonic Superstars finally has a release date. Sega has finally provided a release date for its upcoming platformer Sonic Superstars. At Gamescom opening night 2023, Sega confirmed that it will release on October 17th of this year. A new trailer showed off local co-op with up to four players and the online free-for-all battle mode. Of course, this was announced a few months ago. I think people are more excited about this than they were for Sonic Mania because this is a original game in the style of mm-hmm. the classic Sonic games with updated graphics, obviously. But the funny thing is, Super Mario Brothers Wonder comes out 3 days after this.
Ay-ay-ay, Sonic and Mario going at it again.
Going back at it like the 90s, and you know what? I mean, I'm going to get both.
Oh, yeah.
I think, though Mario Wonder does look really good, I'm a little more excited for Sonic Superstars because it's been so long since we've got a original 2D Sonic game.
Yeah.
You know, with Mario Brothers, we got the new Super Mario Brothers games, which were a lot of fun, so I'm a little more excited for Sonic, but I'm going to pick up both.
And I like the graphic style for it, that almost CGI cartoon look to it. I really like the graphic style for it, so I'm going to have to get both of these two.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of you know, the Sonic Prime cartoon that came out on Netflix a while back. Reminds me a little bit of that, but maybe like geared towards a little bit more of a younger audience because they all have like their classic 90s looks. You know, like Sonic doesn't have the green eyes or the, he doesn't look as big. He looks like the classic Sonic from Sonic Generations. So
yeah.
I think it'll be cool.
I dig it. This is also from MyNintendoNews.com. Alien Hominid HD 2023 just dropped a trailer the other day. See, the behemoth has given fans a look at an upcoming re-release of Alien Hominid HD for the Nintendo Switch, co-launching with Alien Hominid Invasion. Let's see. It will be available. Does it have... It says, Team says the game will be available for purchase on its own or as part of a discounted bundle with Alien Hominid Invasion. When they both release, details on these release date for both titles will be announced soon. Did you ever play Alien Hominid back in the day?
I did not. I do remember hearing about it. It originally came out in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And the remake looks really good. You know, is another trailer that I watched right before we started. I never played it, though. I was drawn to it just because I think hominid is such a fun word to say. But I like the animation style. Very bright, very colorful. It looks like a lot of fun. So this may be something that, you know, I get down the line. I may not get it the day it comes out, but eventually I do want to give it a shot because it's another one of those missed games for me.
Same here. I never played. I heard all about it back then, but never got to play it.
And I'm just going to yell hominid over and over multiple times. Let's see. I bet you're excited for this one. From NintendoLife.com, Thunder Ray looks like the perfect spiritual successor to Punch-Out. If you've been waiting for a game to scratch that Punch-Out itch, then the upcoming Thunder Ray might be just what you need. It's not got a firm release date yet, but the beat-em-up looks very reminiscent of Nintendo's classic franchise from the NES, SNES, and Wii. You'll be taken to the ring to experience adrenaline-pumping action with some really impressive HD animation and effects. It includes 2D wonderful hand-me animations, Master Thunder special attacks, become a champion of the universe, learn to defeat the most brutal technicians, and be bloody and wild. It's got a September 2023 date attached, so we should be expecting it sometime this month. Did you watch the trailer for it?
Yeah, and this makes me think, do you remember they did actually make a sequel to Punch-Out? Different company made it, but it was called Power Punch 2.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
This makes me, this is almost like a good remake of that game, of Power Punch 2. And I'll be honest, I'm so excited about this, because let's face it, Punch-Out is the greatest boxing game ever made. I don't care what anybody says, the original Punch-Out is still the greatest boxing game ever made, and I wish they made more games in that style. I wish Nintendo would make more Punch-Out games, but I'm happy with this. If it controls just as well as the original Punch-Out, I'm here for it.
It has a very like anime type of feel to it, the trailer did, and I love the graphics for it. You know, it's got kind of like a little bit of like an anime or a classic hand-drawn kind of look, but just very almost neon like with the color scheme, which I think looks really, really cool. So yeah. I'm gonna be spending a lot of money on games over the next few months.
Dude, there's so many good games coming out. Yeah, like, what am I gonna do, man? I don't have the money for all these damn games.
Yeah, I'm spending all mine to go to L.A.
No kidding. let's see. This next one is from RetroDodo.com. Atari reveals 50th anniversary arcade cabinet collaboration with Arcade 1-Up. Atari has just announced an exciting 50th anniversary deluxe arcade machine. And let's see. Take a look at what's new. The brand new Deluxe is another addition to Atari's 50th anniversary celebration product line. It's jam-packed with 64 classic games, including Centipede, Asteroids, Super Breakout, Crystal Castles, Dark Chambers, Star Raiders, Tempest, Sword Quest, Yar's Revenge, and more. This is the slightly smaller scale arcade cabinet, coming in at 5 feet tall. Also, it has a full-color 17-inch screen, four different format control panels for the various games, and two speakers. For enhanced experience, you have light-up buttons, a light-up marquee, and faux light-up coin doors. Let's see. Purchasing information. It is available for pre-order on the Atari website for $499. and are due to ship in October of 2023, if all goes to plan.
I mean, $500 is a lot of money, but I'm glad that they are at least putting that number of games. 64 games is a lot.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's, you know, 5 feet tall, so it's not like the tabletop, you know, arcade one-up machines that, you know, we've seen in the past. I'm personally not going to get one because that's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But I think it's really cool if, like, if you're an Atari fan or like an Atari collector, I think it's worth getting.
Oh, sorry about that.
Oh, no worries. And of course, it has to have Yar's Revenge.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah, I was gonna see if what other stuff was in here, but see, they because I was thinking, like, you know, I know $499 is a lot of money, but for the games that you get with this is absolutely kind of worth it for me. Like, I know the other machines are about this much, but it's only one game. But you get something like this, you get a ton of original Atari arcade games. So this one might be worth the $500 price sticker.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, the amount of games justifies the price.
Yeah.
If it was just one, I'd be like, I don't think so. But it for what it is, it's not bad. And last but not least, I'm so glad that you put this story in here.
I knew you'd like this one.
from bleedingcool.com, Sega and Oddfellows Ice Cream collab on Sonic the Hedgehog flavors. Let's see. They've made a limited run of Sonic the Hedgehog flavors as an all-new capsule collection of four limited-time ice cream flavors, each one inspired by the adventures of Sonic and his friends Tails, Knuckles, and Amy Rose. The four flavors you can get are Green Hills of Pandan, Tales of Marshmallow Skies, Fruity Fiery Frenemies, and Strawberry Roses Forever. You can get your hands on all four of them at all four Oddfellows scoop shops, where you can get it by the scoop and by the tub, as well as shipping nationwide via their online shop and through Goldbelly. Just to give a quick description of what the flavors are, Green Hills is pandan-infused coconut-based ice cream with candied sunflower seeds. Tales of Marshmallow Skies soar through skies of marshmallow ice cream and into a sweet mountain of blue velvet cake and chocolate caramel turtles.
That sounds good.
Fruity Fiery Frenemies, chili mango and guava ice cream. And Strawberry Roses Forever will be strawberry rose ice cream chock full of white chocolate morsels. If I were to get one, it would be that one.
I think I'm going to go for the Tales of Marshmallow Skies. That one sounds the best.
I looked at where the shops are, and of course, the closest one is in Tampa. And it would be interesting. I mean, I'm sure they have ways to ship it,
yeah.
But shipping it here in, you know, the dog days of summer.
Oh, I know.
I don't think would be a bad idea.
Yeah, you
but
might
like,
want to
I
wait
would get,
till like February.
I would get these just because I think the cover art for all of them looks really cool. It's that classic Sonic art style. You know, the Green Hills has just Sonic by himself, and then you've got Sonic and Tails on one, Sonic and Amy on one, and Sonic and Knuckles on another. But this is really cool, and of course it's nowhere near here, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, that sucks. I would definitely try this and clean out the tub and keep the tub as a souvenir.
Yeah. You can go on their website, and they have shirts that you can buy. And one has Sonic wearing a bow tie and holding four scoops of ice cream. And I'm like,
awesome.
That would be really cool to have.
Yeah, it would. Yeah. I wonder how much it would be to ship, like, and keep it cold. That's the entire plot of Twisted Metal, the TV show.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I still need to watch it.
Oh, you have to. You have to. And that brings us to the end of the news. And coming up right now, we're going to bring in Mr. Joey Image into the room here. And Mr. Image,
Joey?
Are you there? You're muted, sir. Ask to unmute. Unmute, sir.
Hello. And mute. All right. And my camera's also not working. All right.
Here he is.
Yeah.
There we go.
Welcome, Joey.
Welcome.
Good morning. I had to go back into the email and use the link. I couldn't just join. So that's why I dinged in before.
That's all right.
I got to agree with Jay on the arcade one up. Like, $500 a lot, but for the amount of games, I mean, I paid $300 for my Street Fighter, and there's only three games on there.
Yeah.
Now there's 2,400 games on it, but before I got to it. My only other gripe with that is, like, I paid $300 for that, and for less than $50, I have a light up marquee, all light up buttons, and I forgot what the other thing. Oh, and a coin slot. Oh, you can't see it. There's stools in front of it. I have actually a real working coin slot.
Really?
That's
cool. Yeah. Yeah, I hooked it up the first year that I had it, that we put it together. My wife and I built it together. The first year, we have, like, my nephews and my niece, and her niece is over for Christmas, and I connected the, hooked up the coin slot, and I told my nephews, like, you don't put in the quarter, you ain't playing it. And they were like, come on. So I had to disconnect it, and they were good to go. But yeah, I got a thing in there with a bucket for change and everything. It's cool.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic.
Well, we talked about this a few weeks ago, but then you had surgery and you had some stuff pop up. So refresh your
I know.
Body.
How dare I have surgery? I know, I'm like,
what are you thinking?
What a prick I am.
Where are your priorities at?
I know, right? I can fix my neck another time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So refresh everybody's memory. You're going to be doing this little segment here once a month. And let everybody what you're going to be doing.
I guess, I don't know what we're going to call it, but I was calling it, like, the wacky, crazy news, video game news of the month.
I like it.
Not necessarily of that current month, just meaning that I'm on once a month.
Yeah.
So, but the thing that I wanted to start with is topical for two reasons. One is because it revolves around Starfield, which comes out tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And two, I'll talk about when I get to it. But basically, so I'll just tell you the gist of the story, and then I'll get to the crazy part afterwards. So the basic gist of the story is, let's talk about Darren Harris, who's 29, from Memphis, Tennessee. You guys ever heard of him?
No.
I have not.
I was very surprised when you told me you haven't, because this was a big thing last week, especially because Starfield is coming out tomorrow. But Darren Harris stole 67 copies of Starfield on August 24th from a local warehouse owned by a company called Vantiva, who is they're basically like a logistics company. They handle shipping and fulfillment for, you know, so whoever gets 200 orders of something, they ship them there, and then when it's release date, they ship them out. Yeah. Kind of like Frog Pants. Like all the stuff that I get from Scott is like return address from Georgia. And yeah. I'm like, what the? He's not anywhere near Georgia. Like, how does this happen? Until I got into like shipping at my last job, I understood. So he stole 67 copies, which if they were all standard editions, then the total retail value would be close to $4,600.
Whoa.
However, there were a couple that were collector's editions, which were $300. So here comes, all right, so it's just a theft, big deal. A warehouse gets robbed. That happens a lot. The crazy part is, because this guy is apparently super intellectually superior, he not only posted pictures of himself holding them all online. Actually, Jay's reaction. That's my exact reaction when I first heard this. So he not only put all these pictures of himself online holding them, he also filmed 40 to 45 minutes of footage of him playing it on his Xbox and recorded it with his phone, and then put that online. And by the way, his face was plainly visible in the picture of him holding them. So I was going to actually say this a second ago. In the photos he posted, there's a picture of him sitting in his car seat with a stack of them, and a bunch of those... I shouldn't say a bunch, maybe five or six were the collector's edition, which is the $300 version. So I'm assuming this is over like $6,000, I would guess, right? Because I mean, you figure if it's $70,
I think anything over $5,000 is considered a felony.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I think it's $5,000. Anything is like grand larceny or something like that. Anything over $5,000. So he's probably facing a long time in prison.
That's the second topical reason for this week, because his court date is Friday the 8th. But there's more of the crazy. It's not even crazy. It's just stupid. Crazy in the sense that, like, what idiot would do this?
How dumb do you have to be
Right.
To put pictures of yourself online with the stuff you stole, and then he's streaming it. Like, what are you thinking, dude?
So at the end of the 45 minutes of footage that he filmed with his phone, at the end of the video, he holds the phone up. Where's my phone? Holds the phone up and says, "No offense for stealing this stuff, but this is a really good game." What?
I mean, so that's like stealing a car and then, you know, like posting a video of you driving a stolen car.
Exactly. Look at my new toy.
Hey, this car drives really great. You know, I stole it.
I got this car for really cheap.
It gets dumber. He sold a bunch via on the Mercari app. And then he took videos of himself to prove that he actually had it, because some people said, "Hey, it's not even out yet. How do you have it?" He videoed himself, you know, packing or whatever you call it, making the packages, going to whatever post office or whatever, and or UPS, and videos of himself shipping the stuff. videos and photos of himself physically shipping them out that he sold via Mercari. He said, "No offense, but this is a really good game." So he was then, this is a great story, dude. So he was then arrested and booked on August 24th, which I think was last week. So yeah. Cops had a search warrant for his house because he's in the video. That's how they found him. They just clicked on his username. I think there was a clip of it on TikTok. They just clicked on his username and said, "Here's this genius." I mean, it's. So they went there, they had a search warrant. They found more copies of the game. Weed and stolen handguns.
Oh, Lord.
So he was released the following day on $10,000 bond, and his court is this Friday, September 8th. So that's the latest at that. As of now, that's the latest. That his court date is Friday. So, again, the two topical reasons: Starfield comes out tomorrow, and 3 days later, this genius goes to court for stealing 67 copies of it.
So the lesson here is, any of you listeners out there are would-be criminals, don't post your ill-gotten gains online anywhere.
Yeah, what are you thinking? I mean, and then to post a video and tag whoever it was, I don't know the guy's name, but Todd somebody is one of the developers at Bethesda. That I don't know if he was like head of the development team or just first name that this kid found and said, "Hey, Todd, no offense, you know, but this is a pretty good game." Well, sure.
Wow.
You can't write stuff like this.
I don't even know what to say. I read this story. I think this is also on Polygon. I saw like two YouTube videos about this last week, and I saw one that popped up, and I'm like, it can't be real. So I searched this kid's name on YouTube, and a bunch of other ones came up, and I'm like, wait, this still can't be real, because the second video I watched shouted out the first guy that I watched. So I'm like, these guys are in cahoots to just make up some BS story just to kind of get one over on gamers or whatever, or it's funny. And then I Googled his name, and I'm like, holy crap, this is not fake. Like, this really happened. And I saw the videos, and if you go to the Polygon article, the videos that he took are on there, and the pictures of him sitting in his car with a stack of Starfields here are still on the article.
So that's a pretty open and shut case, I would say.
Yeah.
Yep.
But just the fact that they found, you know, drugs and stolen guns.
Stolen handguns, yeah.
At his house is like, you're going to get thrown under the jail at that point.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Should be called a special kind of stupid.
There's another crazy thing is I could see this guy possibly pleading like not guilty. Like,
of course.
I don't know how, but they're going to say the video is not admissible in court because he took it himself and he didn't give the other lawyer permission or whatever. Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't know how stuff works like that, but
it'll probably
there always seems to be some other crazy, like weird thing thrown in, like, oh, he pled not guilty, even though he's on video with all of them in his car.
He'll probably
and he sold like, some. Like, do they go and find the people that he sold it to and say, hey, you can't buy this yet? Like, it came out 3 days ago. Now you can have it.
No,
I don't know.
I mean, I don't even know what to say about this guy. I mean, he's probably going to get a plea deal. And probably spend, you know, a year or two in jail, and it's probably going to be maybe a fine.
I'd like to know how much he sold them for.
Yeah, me too. That's what I'm curious about.
I don't know. I mean,
I didn't see that in the article, but there's got to be somebody that knows where it's got it. Maybe it'll come out in discovery when the court thing happens or whatever.
Whatever he sold it for is definitely going to have to go to lawyer fees anyway.
Oh, man. So that's your crazy news story for the month.
Well, thank you so much, Joey.
Thank you, folks.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
I will bid you all adieu, and I will catch you next week, actually. Yes. I'll see you next week.
Absolutely. Yeah. Excellent. Thanks for subbing in for me, by the way.
Yes. Thanks for taking a night off. And congrats. Yeah. And it's still the man's Chinese theater to me.
Yeah. Me too.
Always.
I've been there twice. It's such a cool place.
Yeah. I'm going to take plenty of pictures and send to you guys.
Awesome. Yeah. I got to find my pictures from, I think I was there in 91. Was the first time. My brother used to live in Manhattan Beach.
Okay, cool.
So he took me there a couple times. But anyway, take care. Have a good rest of the show, and I will talk to you all later.
Yep. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, folks.
So, Derek, when you're there...
That was fantastic.
When you're there next week, don't forget to send us pictures of Jay and Silent Bob's feet in the cement.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome. Thank you to Joey for coming on. That was
fun.
I was not expecting that.
No, not at all. That's going to make a great movie in a few years.
Oh, yeah. That. I mean, why? Why are people that stupid, man?
Yeah, I'm telling you, we as a human race, there are smart people, but God, there are some stupid ones.
Well, before we're going to save, I'll do the, we'll do our video game history next week, and okay. But before we go into the review, Derek, would you want to shout out our lovely patrons real quick?
I would love to. As always, we'd like to shout out our awesome patrons over at patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. We want to shout out James, aka Jimbo Jr. on Discord, Travis Martin, Raven, Danny House, Justin Nispel, John West, Daniel Salmon, Mr. B-Rez Coffee himself, Mike Eveland, Tyler Watson, happy birthday to Tyler, AxeBlade07, Armiz Jackson, Carlos Longoria, a.k.a. I am the Rampage. Staff Sergeant Sketch, Gus and Penny, Matthew Salmon, Joey Image.
Mama Diamond.
And, of course, Mama. Yes, you beat me to it. If you want to be a part of our awesome Patreon community, for just as little as $1 a month, you get your own personal RSS feed. And whenever you click on it, it says RSS feed for whatever your name is. And you get ad-free episodes of Nerd Cave Retro and early access to our fun bonus episodes. Like last month, we did our spoiler cast for Tears of the Kingdom, which will not be released to the public. We normally release the episodes, you know, like 3 weeks after we put them on the Patreon, but that one's going to be exclusive. But we've done a lot of great, fun commentary tracks like National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, Batman 89, animated shows like Gargoyles, Darkwing Duck, live action shows like Family Matters. The list is near endless, and I know we'll have to decide what we're going to do for September, because September's already here.
I know. What happened to August, man? It was just July a minute ago.
Yeah, it's insane. So, and if you want to be a part of the $3 tier, then you get to vote on what we do for our commentary tracks, and we occasionally post polls asking you guys to decide what we review for a particular episode. So if you want to be a part of our awesome Patreon community, just head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And for new patrons, be sure to send us your social media info, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, so we can give you a proper shout.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Derek, have you heard the news?
What news?
We officially have our very own line of coffee at BrezCoffeeCo.com.
That's right. Nerd Cave Retro now has its very own medium roast coffee.
If you want to try it yourself, or even some of the other awesome flavors like Wizard's Potion, which is a butterscotch, caramel, and hazelnut flavored roast.
Or the Dragon's Breath Roast, which is a cinnamon dolce flavored roast.
They have tons of different flavors, and you can also just get a regular Colombian roast and add any flavor to it that you want. They even keep their seasonal roasts all year round.
If you need that boost to get you through those all-night gaming sessions, then head over to BrezCoffeeCo.com and use the promo code NCR for 10% off your order.
And tonight, Derek is going to be talking about... That is heroic.
I know. I just wanted to stand up and do the classic like Superman pose and just stand there for 20 minutes and not say a word. Just let the music keep playing. But yeah, the music is a highlight from this game. And this is a game that this was part of the three-way tie for the Patreon poll that I posted. But it's also a game that I've been wanting to play for a long time because it's one of the few games that was developed and published by Rare that I have never played. This is Jet Force Gemini. It is a third-person shooter developed and published by Rare for the Nintendo 64, released in 1999, specifically October 11th of 99 in North America. And I remember seeing and hearing about this game, but we mentioned it, I believe last week, that Donkey Kong 64 came out shortly after. And that was kind of where all the publicity and really all the sales went to, because Donkey Kong is a long-standing character. So I feel like this game didn't really get the hype that it deserved, because we've talked about it ad nauseum, but in the 90s and early 2000s, when you saw a game for a Nintendo console and Rare's logo was on it, you knew that you were in for something really good.
Yeah.
And there have been some misses from Rare, and I'm not going to call this a miss, but it's not a home run by any stretch. So the story of the game is it follows three members of a galactic law enforcement team called Jet Force Gemini, and you have to stop a horde of drones led by an insectoid called Mizar. The drones basically look like giant ants. There are different colored ants that you have to fight throughout the game. There are blue ones that are kind of like your basic soldiers that are kind of roaming around, and you gotta, you know, take those down. And then you have the green ones that actually are sniper drones, and they hide out in trees, and they're camouflaged because of their color. So, and the AI, and then I put this in my notes, the enemy AI is a lot better than I expected, because when I dove into this game, and there's a little bit, not so much of a tutorial, but there's a pretty lengthy opening cutscene that you have to sit through before you really get into like the meat and potatoes of the game. And then you get a little more story, and then you actually start your objective. And I kind of got caught off guard when there were some drones that were actually hiding. And they shocked me because of like them just kind of jumping out of nowhere, and I wasn't really expecting it. So I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool. Like I don't remember like a complicated enemy AI from back in the day.
Yeah.
Like that. So I enjoyed the challenge aspect of that. Let me go to my notes here. The game at its heart, like it has a little bit of, I won't say platforming, but you do have the ability to jump. It's got some action adventure to it, but it's really a shooter, and not quite like a run and gun, but it feels like a run and gun in a way. And you can definitely feel the influence from like a Super Metroid or Mario 64. Metroid in the sense that you have these different guns that you can find, mm-hmm. and they'll, you know, help you complete certain objectives that you can at the beginning of the game.
I will say, just looking at some of the gameplay, like this game, the graphics actually look really good.
Yeah, it's one of the better looking N64 games, and I feel bad in the sense that I loved that system growing up, but in going back and playing those games, I'm sure you've done it yourself, you have to set a certain expectation for how the game's going to look, so you don't be like, oh, what is this?
Yeah.
What are all these polygons?
Because back then, I mean, it's all we had, and that was such a jump from, you know, the pixel art of the, you know, the Genesis and the Super Nintendo. You'd make that jump into 3D world and polygons, it was like, holy crap, we're doing this now? And you go back and look at it now, and it's like, ew, this is, I would rather see pixel art. Like this, it didn't hold up well.
So I had low expectations graphic-wise when I started playing the game, but I was actually quite surprised, and the level design is actually really good. I mentioned the Mario 64 influence, and that, you know, it feels big.
Yeah.
When you land on the first planet that you go to, you have this big feeling like you're about to go on an epic adventure and potentially save the universe. It's a little complicated in the sense that you play as a combination of three different characters. Their names are Juno, Vela, and Lupus.
Why would you Lupus, name a character Lupus?
I don't know. I immediately thought of the, did you ever watch House back in the day?
Yeah.
That was one of his catchphrases, was it's not Lupus.
Yeah.
And it made me think of that. But yeah, so Lupus is their dog and is almost kind of like the Jet Force Gemini mascot. Mm-hmm. And they each have their own unique abilities. Like Juno can walk through lava and not get hurt. Vela can swim for an indefinite amount of time, and Lupus can hover. I still feel weird calling him Lupus because I think of the disease. But Lupus can hover for a short period of time. And when you begin the game, you play as Juno, and then you'll jump to Vela's story and then Lupus's story. And the three of them eventually meet up, and then you can go back and go to previous planets with, you know, whatever character you want. Mm-hmm. So you can unlock certain things that you couldn't in the beginning or through the first playthrough, which adds a lot of replay value. And I think Rare is really good at that. The drawback to that is that when you revisit these areas, all the enemies respawn and any like doors that you unlock are all locked again.
I hate that.
Oh, it made me so mad. It was I'm like, really? Like, as big of a game as this is, and as I won't say it's a major gripe, but I feel like Rare was being very ambitious with this game, and that's not always a bad thing. It's not always a good thing.
Well, you got to think too, this is the very first one of those kind of games too. Like, we're very early in that kind of gameplay where you can go back, you know, to earlier planets and things of that nature.
Yeah.
So I think after playing games like these, developers who had played those games came along later, you know, making games, and are like, how about we make it where if you go back to a place you've been, the enemies don't respawn, and you can just go back to wherever you want. I think that's a much better move than having to go redo all that crap over again.
Yeah, and I like the fact that the game is big, you know, because a lot of games from that era don't. I feel like, you know, like you had the Mario Brothers games where you had like all the different worlds that you had to go to, so those games felt big.
Yeah,
Zelda felt big, but a lot of the other, I won't say lesser known, but franchises that weren't on that level of notoriety, you didn't get that. But with this game, you did. And I put in my notes, what I like the most about the game is there's always something to do. So one of the things that you have to do is these race of creatures called tribals. They look kind of like miniature koalas, And what's weird is I'm assuming that it's the same race, maybe just a little bit different. But when you land on the first planet, you meet this character that looks like if Yoda and Gizmo had a baby. This you would be what you like. The ears were like Gizmo, but he was wearing a robe and had a cane like Yoda.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, this is interesting, because I didn't read anything about the game before. I didn't know anything about the story or anything. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to dive right in and see what happens. The story is good. You know, it's simple enough, but you still have that feel like there are large stakes, and you know, you're trying to reunite with the rest of your team and whatnot. So there's always an objective to follow.
Yeah.
The enemy AI I mentioned is really challenging, and I really like that. And there's a great variety of weapons too. Like, you know, you start out with your basic pistol, but you can get a sniper rifle, you can get grenades, homing missiles, and there's like an automatic targeting system that you can do for like your basic enemies. Really, all you have to do is hit the Z button, and you know, the gun locks on, and you know, you can kind of fire away.
Yeah.
The frustrating part of that is you can't really do that when you're trying to use, like, say, the sniper rifle, and it feels kind of clunky in a way. And it's like that when your character's walking too. It's almost like you're walking on ice. So like if you stop, you know, the character will move forward like another step or two.
Yeah.
And I wish that, and I don't know the reasons, but I wish Rare would have tightened that up a little bit.
And that seems like, you know, I even talked about that a little bit last week with or week before, whatever, with Hudson's Adventure Island. A lot of games back then did that. Like when your character comes to a stop, there's that little bit extra movement that made mm-hmm. you feel like you were sliding. And that made the platforming just that much harder.
It's even almost like when you're coming to a stop, the characters like lean to the left or lean to the right, whatever direction you're going in. So it's almost like the character itself is trying to to kind of stay afoot.
Yeah.
That, and whenever there are a lot of enemies on screen, the frame rate dips badly.
Yeah.
Like unplayable badly. And that's not the first time that's happened to Rare, because they did that with Banjo-Tooie, which came out a year later. The farther you get in the game, like especially like the last couple of worlds, the frame rate drops pretty significantly. And they fixed it, you know, when they put it out on the Xbox 360 and the Rare Replay and whatnot. But it makes me wonder, like, why is that a theme with 3D Rare platformers? Like, did they run out of time? I should have looked up maybe the reasoning behind it. Maybe they had to hit the deadline with Donkey Kong as well.
That's what I'm thinking it is. It's got to be like a crunch thing. Like, they just ran out of time.
But I really wish that the controls would have been something that they would have tightened up, because it's when you're trying to, you know, snipe somebody who's sniping at you and you have to hit these combination of buttons mm-hmm. in order to use a sniper rifle, it just kind of makes it a little too complicated for my taste. I mentioned, you know, the everything resetting whenever you leave an area or you leave a planet. I agree with you in the sense that that hadn't really been done. So maybe it was just something that they kind of had to figure out afterwards. But it especially sucks when you have to go back and almost replay through the whole thing again.
Yeah.
For no real reason. And I like the vastness of it, but I feel like the worlds are almost too big. You know, I don't have the number in front of me, but there are several planets that you have to go through. And you have to find, you know, because you pretty much have to complete the game 100%. And finding, like, all the tribals can be a little challenging and a little redundant also. But we've talked about that with Rare in the past and their obsession with collectibles.
Yeah.
And sometimes they kind of go a little too far with the collectibles.
Do you think
I don't think they did in this instance. I just wish that there wouldn't have been as much of an emphasis on having to rescue
Do you think maybe some of the problems, especially with some of these rare games, and even other companies as well in this time, maybe they were a little too ambitious for their own good, especially with being limited to what they could do, like with the, you know, the Super Nintendo, the Genesis. Then you get to where it's like you have open worlds that you can sandbox in, and it's just like, what can we do in here? And then they just get a little too ambitious for what they want to do.
I think this would have made an excellent GameCube game. Mm-hmm. Like a really, really good GameCube game. So I think I liked what they were doing. I just feel like the N64 put a little bit too much of a limit on what they were doing. And I don't have the sentimental, you know, I didn't grow up with this game. So I feel like I can look at it with, I will say, more objective point of view, but as someone who is coming to it new, but knowing what those games were like back then. Mm-hmm. And I put this in my notes. I put the good, the bad, and the hilarious. So the tribals, I mentioned that they look like little koalas. You can accidentally kill them. There's one that when the drones land on the first planet, they literally land on one of the tribal members, and you see their body like splatter with pink blood.
Wow.
And I'm like, was this a precursor to Conker's Bad Fur Day? Because the blood factor looked a lot like that. And if this had been a text conversation, my reaction would have been, you know, the thinking emoji with the hand on the chin.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, y'all really put this in a, like, it's not a mature game, but yeah, you can like accidentally blow their heads off.
Ouch.
Which is kind of crazy. So it made me laugh a little bit in the sense that, okay, I can see a little bit of the inspiration for Conker.
Yeah.
In that. But as far as the overall reception of this game, it received generally positive reviews from critics, and Edge described it as a straightforward blaster at heart. While Allgame claimed that it pays homage to 8 and 16-bit games with its emphasis on high-intensity action and level design that requires skill with the controller. And I alluded to that in the sense that, you know, this game is always moving. Like, there's always something to do, or you feel like you're always doing something, or you're watching a cutscene that's actually integral to the story.
Yeah.
So it moves at a good pace, and Rare did a fantastic job with that.
How are the cutscenes for it?
Hmm?
How are the actual cutscenes for it?
Oh, I love the cutscenes. You know, it felt as close to watching a movie as you could with the N64 graphics.
Yeah.
And especially with the music, you can feel like you can hear the emphasis or the inspiration from like The Empire Strikes Back or Aliens. I can't remember the planet's name off the top of my head, but there's one that I'm like, okay, you listen to some John Williams to to get inspiration, which I liked.
Yeah.
You know, I John Williams is the greatest in my opinion. So if somebody's going to take some inspiration, I've got no problem with that. So the music was cool. And the cutscenes I think played extremely well. I just keep thinking if they had pushed this to the GameCube and they could have smoothed out the graphics a little bit and tightened up the controls, this would have been one of Rare's best games.
Yeah, because I think this came out October 11th of 99. You're like less than a year away from the GameCube. Mm-hmm. Like, why was this not ported to the GameCube?
I mean, in playing, you know, like we can look back and say, well, they should have done this. Keep Donkey Kong 64 on the N64. I would have then put the focus on Jet Force Gemini to be a GameCube launch game.
Yeah, because I mean, you already
and it would
had
have been
the,
excellent.
Yeah, you. I mean, obviously, they already had the dev kits for the GameCube at this time, so they knew it existed. Like, why would you put this much effort into a game for the Nintendo 64, which is going to be irrelevant in less than a year, as soon as the GameCube comes out? Like, why not focus on the GameCube?
Yeah, if this had been a launch game, or even if it came out like a month after launch, because That happened with Smash Brothers Melee. It came out in December, and the GameCube came out. The GameCube launched in November. The Smash Brothers came out in December. Mm-hmm. If you had had that, Luigi's Mansion, Jet Force Gemini, that'd be a pretty decent trifecta of games to start with.
Yeah.
But some other, you know, publications that gave it reviews, IGN gave it an 8.1 out of 10. N64 Magazine gave it a 93. Nintendo Life gave it 7 out of 10 stars. Nintendo Power gave it a 9 out of 10.
Wow.
And I will say, for me personally, overall, I think there's much more good to say about the game than bad. There are some things that take away from it, but I still really enjoyed it. So I think it's not Rare's best game, but it's one of their more ambitious. And yeah, could it have been executed better? Yeah, but you look at what they had to work with at the time. So I would give this game a solid 7.5.
So would this be a definite must-have for the N64?
I think so. If you're collecting N64 games, I think any game with the Rare logo on it is worth getting, and Jet Force Gemini is no exception.
Yeah, and plus you think this is at the end of the N64's life. They're always going to get the best, you know, games towards the end of a console's life. That always seems to be how it works. It's like some of the best games come out when the console is almost irrelevant. You know, like look at the NES. Some of the best games came out after the Super Nintendo came out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been like that ever since. But I'm not a huge N64 fan. I was at the time. Going back, it's really hard to go back and play that system. But, I mean, this seems like something I would probably go back and try it. I've never played it, but with Rare at the helm, it would be something I would say, all right, this is definitely worth going back and playing.
They're one of those companies that if you see their name on it, you're much more likely to give it a shot.
Yeah. Well, there you go. If you have an N64, go pick up Jet Force Gemini for it.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun playing it. It is a fun story to get immersed into.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you finally got that. Got to play it, and I might actually look this up. Let's just real quick take a quick detour here to eBay and see what Jet Force Gemini is going for these days.
Jet Force, or as we'd say here in the South, take a gander.
Yeah, take a gander. Jet Force Gemini. You can get it complete in box for you can buy it now for $55.79. So that's not bad at all. Loose cart. Let's see. The buy it nows are, looks like everything, they're running between $5 and $10 for a loose cart. So I mean, that
sounds about right.
That's a no brainer.
That's what it should be.
Yeah, a no brainer. Go pick up Jet Force Gemini for the N64 less than $10. That's a no brainer in my book, especially for a game from Rare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know you're getting good quality.
Yeah, but that's going to bring us to the end. Is that everything you had to say about Jet Force?
Yep.
Awesome.
Yep.
Well, next week, Derek is not going to be here. He is going to be in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, California.
Yeah, the city of angels, as they say.
Yeah.
And Mr. Joey Image will be here in his place, and I am going to be reviewing G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero for the Nintendo Entertainment System. And I got to say, so far what I've played of it, I do enjoy it, but I might have some more to say about it by next week.
I'm excited to hear it. I'm going to be sure to download the show, and I'll probably listen to it on the flight home.
Awesome. Well, what's going on with the Derek Diamond Experience? What's going on these days?
Yeah, so the count to 400 episodes continues.
Wow.
Up to, I released 373 today. So I had a really fascinating chat with a documentary filmmaker named Serena DC. She and her team made a documentary called Beyond the Grave, which talks about, of course, the afterlife. And it deals with it from I'll say this. It deals with it from a lot of viewpoints. None of them have to do with religion.
Hmm. This is a definite must listen. Dude, your shows have been great. So if you guys are out there are not listening to the Derek Diamond Experience, go listen to it now.
I appreciate the shout out. And I'll give, since I won't be here next week, there's been a top five that I have not done in the almost 400 episode history of the show that I'm going to be doing in 2 weeks. And I'm probably going to do it as a live show. Mm-hmm. Top five movies from the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
That one's going to be a tough one.
Yeah.
I can easily say which ones would be my top five that I like the least. But doing a top five best, that's going to be a tough one.
Maybe I should do that for October. Bottom five MCU movies.
Top five and bottom five. I dig that a lot.
Yeah. So, head over to linktree.com/ddiamondpodcast. You can subscribe to the show there, whether it's through audio or YouTube. Social media is all there. Everything's in one location. And if you could, I know I preach about this every week, but please rate and review the show. This one as well, and open micers. You know, it really does help the podcast, because the more ratings and reviews that we get, the more visible the show is to those that are searching for, like in this case, a retro gaming podcast. It really does help, and it only takes a minute, and it doesn't cost anything.
Yep. Do what Derek says. Go.
That is my pitch for this week.
That's all you got to do. Give us a review. Like, even on Spotify, you don't even have to write anything. You just got to click the 5 stars, and that's it.
Yep.
That's all you got to do, and that puts
takes
us in
two
front
seconds.
Of, yeah, not even that. It's like as fast as it takes to click. Like, that's how long it takes. But for the Open Micers podcast, some banger episodes, and I say
that. Yeah, you guys have had some great guests on.
Because I like to make Jacob mad when I use Gen Z slang. But we had an entire episode about that.
Yeah,
we just
it was
released
great.
Our Patreon episode where I gave Jacob some life advice, and he gave me an intervention for using Gen Z slang. And that was a great, funny episode that we enjoyed doing. And Mr. Neil Rubenstein was back on the show this last week as well. And he just dropped his brand new special on YouTube. So go listen to the episode and then click the link for the YouTube comedy special that he did, because the man's hilarious. He came through town yesterday, and it was me and Jacob and some Mobile comedians met up with him and had a comedy little seminar with him, like a little roundtable seminar for a couple hours yesterday. And let me tell you, the dude is playing on a whole different playing field than we are. Like, he's playing a whole different sport when it comes to comedy. Like, it lit a fire under me. I'm sure Jacob too, but me, it lit a fire under me yesterday to get back out there.
Just as the saying goes, he's playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers.
Exactly. So go check out his comedy special. It's awesome. Go listen to that episode. It's at Open Micers on Twitter and Instagram. OpenMicers.com will take you to the website. And Derek, is that everything? Is that everything for this week?
I think that's it.
Well, let's go ahead, and I'm going to start walking towards the door, shutting lights off here. And if you want to email us, you can email us at nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. Nerdcaveretro.com is our link tree. That includes our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, our Patreon, and, of course, the merch shop, which you can also get to by ncrmerch.com. You can go get T-shirts, hats, stickers, magnets, bags, mugs, whatever you need, and whatever your nerdy little heart desires is there at our merch shop. And follow us on social media at NerdCaveRetro, at JFucktastic, and at Derek_Diamond. We told you to go leave us a 5-star rating before, but go do it again. Leave us a review wherever you can. And of course, if you want to watch the show, watch us on YouTube.com/JFunktastic. And Derek, please tell them what it's all about.
May the way of the hero lead to the Triforce.
Yes.
Forgiveness is divine, but never pay full price for late pizza.
This podcast is a Zoo House LLC production.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.